Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to day 3 of Guitar Nerd's Gear of the Year deliberations. Today we're going to be talking best pedal and 2016's weirdest gear. I'm your host Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Well, hello there.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Acton.
How are you feeling, JB? You're looking a little worse for wear.
I'm alright, I'm getting through it.
You are getting through it. You've been sterling so
far.
I've got such a bad idea. Why?
So like, yesterday was the 12 pubs of Christmas, as it's known.
I seem to remember having this exact conversation last year on Gear of the Year.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it fall at the same time?
I think
time?
So, yeah. I think we always do it the day after the 12
the
pubs
thing
of
is,
Christmas.
Like, I just can't have... I just don't think I could have 12 drinks.
No, my wallet couldn't.
No. I don't think I'm ever going to drink again.
But also, I spent so much money. But yeah, it was good. 12 pubs, 12 pints, 6 shots. That's the game.
Man, I don't know how you do it to yourself. I'm feeling old and knackered and I don't drink...
We can't all be as quirky
as JB,
as Joe, you know.
World's end, Branton. Anyway, enough of talking about Branton. Let's talk about some stuff that's actually good. All the cool pedals that have come out in 2016. We're going to do this slightly differently. I've grouped the pedals by product type. So there's like preamp, overdrive, distortion, fuzz, modulation, delay, and reverb. I'm just going to go down and say, is this a top 10 product, potential top 10 product, yes or no? If it's a no, it's getting deleted. So, let's start from the top. Two Notes Le Clean preamp.
100% yes.
Joe Branton?
Are you just going to do one at a time? And we're saying
yes
or no?
Yeah, just say yes or no.
Oh, right, no.
Jay?
I think so.
It's like an integral part of our setup, Joe. That's a clear top 10 product for me.
I think, yeah, if we narrow it down to 10, I think this is the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Philosophers, Pictronics, Philosopher's Tone Micro.
No.
Yes.
Oh, God, here we go. Mate, it's a compressor.
Yeah, but it's one of the best compressors on the market, and they've put it in a micro pedal.
I reckon you say that once a podcast.
Although we never put the JHS in.
Oh, it's one of the best compressors on the market.
Oh, that's true. Maybe
I reckon scrap the Philosopher's Tone, JHS Pulp and Peel. Way
the
better.
Pulp and Peel is a great compressor.
I've just added the Pulp and Peel. I don't know why that got deleted. So we're gonna take off the Pictronics and add the Pulp and Peel.
Yeah.
Let me do that. In the meantime we can talk about the Digitech Dirty Robot.
Nay.
No? Okay,
that's
a no.
The synth. Still think the Digitech synth was a better pedal.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, down into overdrives. The X5 Golden Brownie.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think we're all in agreement.
I agree. What? I think it's great.
Matt, like, what are you doing? But the thing is, probably the best product.
I thought you said you loved this.
I do love it. But there's three Marshall JCM 800 emulator pedals on this list.
This one is the best one, and it's 50 quid.
No. We can get down to that when it. But I think that is a. It's £50, it deserves.
I sort of want to say yes to everything, though. That's the
problem. Of course. Yeah. So let's do the next one. Frederick FX Utility Percolator.
Not as good as. It's not really.
No, if I'm
it's
being
not
tough.
A harmonic percolator.
No, yeah, if I'm being tough, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, okay.
I think the name there is a bit misleading.
I think it's a cool pedal. It's a cool pedal. Definitely. I don't think, of all the things that we've heard this year, it's definitely not in my top 10.
No. I mean, the thing is, with you saying that it's not a harmonic percolator. I mean, it is not a harmonic percolator. They do a harmonic percolator.
I know.
This is the utility percolator, which is a more usable, I guess, harmonic percolator. And because it's Frederick who owned the rights to the harmonic percolator.
I think they built it with, like, an understanding / agreement.
I think they own the rights because the geezer.
The people that own the rights are involved in the
something like that
in some way.
Okay, but like I like it. I like it a lot. I'm not sure.
Is it the 10?
I don't
the
think
10
it's top 10. I do think it's great, but I don't think it's top 10.
Seymour Duncan Palladium Gain Stage.
Absolutely not.
No, not
too much going on.
I'm torn over this because actually, listening to the video, it does sound very good, but I don't think it's top 10.
I thought it was a lot better than I was expecting it to be.
I think we do need to explain a little bit about these pedals as we go.
Okay,
in
well,
case
it's,
people have aren't we done aware are, of them because we're these, just saying names.
It's a gain stage.
Are these all pedals that we've done videos
these
on?
These are all pedals that we've done pedals of or have been released, like prominent releases.
Yeah, okay.
I think we should leave the Palladium because I want to talk about that a bit more. If we can leave it for the moment.
Top 10. All right.
Magnetic FX Satellite Overdrive, which is a fairly sort of transparent style overdrive made in the UK. Personally, there's a lot of competition in this market.
Yeah,
a
lot of competition. I've already seen one.
White,
I prefer
the White Atom. That
fantastic.
They did, was,
yeah. did really well last was, year yeah, from the same company. Yeah. I don't think the Satellite cuts it, unfortunately. One that we didn't demo, Electroharmonic Soul Pog, which is the soul food and the pog in one box.
Oh, they've done this before.
Yeah.
It's not really a new pedal.
It's like the
is
turnip
it?
Greens.
Yeah.
It is. So we're saying
no to the soul pogs.
Yeah, and what they did like the epitome.
That was slightly different because that was an actual multi effects rather than just two pedals mashed together.
Yeah, I suppose. I think it's. I'd get rid of it.
Okay, good. Walrus Audio 385 Overdrive.
Absolutely.
What a pedal.
100%.
Okay, so good.
This is the Overdrive based on the Bell and Howe film projector preamp, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, that's just the coolest thing
I forgot
ever.
To tell you, the Hope and Ruin, which is a local venue in Brighton for those listening, have got a 385 hanging on their wall.
Oh, is that what that is?
There's two Bell and Howe, and I couldn't see, is the one... So this local pub that we go to has got a load of stuff, old electronic stuff, like hammered to the wall, basically, to make it look a bit more quirky. One of them is like a real cheap Bell and Howe film projector. The other one, it's missing the front panel, because the front panel on these projectors folds out. I can't tell if it's a 385, but looking at a picture of a 385 and looking at that projector, they're exactly identical. So there may be an actual 385 preamp just sat there used as decoration in
pub. I'll ask him.
You should ask because that is a great pedal, so that's staying on the list.
Definitely.
How about the Wampler Tumnus? Matty, what do you think?
I really like it. I think it's a great pedal, but there's some other pedals on this list that I think I would prefer
this
in the
is,
top 10.
This is going to be the hardest category because, you know, this transparent overdrive, you know, the Klon style, you know, it's a kind of a flooded market. I do like the Tumnus. I just, like you say, I think I've heard better. I think we've already talked about one that's better in a similar category.
I agree. I think it's a really, really great pedal. I think that you could easily get away with having multiple drives on your board.
Oh yeah, of course.
And,
yeah, definitely.
You know, it's but is it the best drive that came out this year? I don't think so.
No.
One that I think would have completely surprised us all, actually, the Greenchild G777, which is a what is it? How would you describe it, Matt? It's a dual gain stage, I guess. It's not really a drive.
Well, that's the thing I think I said when we were doing the videos. It's like, it's not like anything else. It's not a Tube Screamer. It's not a Marshall in a box. It's just like a circuit designed from the ground up.
Yeah.
It's like just a good sounding overdrive.
Yeah, totally.
And just unique, and it's got a true, like, clean boost to it as well, you know.
Probably one of the best build
pedals. The problem
is,
if I'm thinking really top 10, and I'm looking at the next one on this list, I'm so torn. It's unbelievable.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be top 10, but pedals that you would consider for the top 10,
well, I think,
which will then be the considerations for the top 5,
yeah,
which will then be the considerations for the top 2.
I would say...
Which then go into considerations for top 10 for the final.
I'd say yes, purely because I think if you want something different and you want to be surprised by a pedal...
I think so too. I think, honestly, it blew me away when we plugged it in. Yep. It's doing something so different. Like you say, it's not Tube Screamer. Yeah. It's not Klon style. Yeah. You know, it's not Dumble style. It's a completely new sound for me. I really liked it. So you mentioned the next one in the list, the Echoline Roadrunner.
It's
kind of a line driver, isn't it? Like, it's a low gain overdrive.
Like a preamp, I suppose.
You can push it a bit harder as well.
Yeah.
It's a make gooder.
Yeah, it is. It can anywhere from sort of like...
standard make gooder to drive.
It's a nice
basically.
Drive, yeah.
I thought it was astonishing.
And actually, can't you also use it as a clean boost?
It actually did do it in such an incredible way. I was blown away by the Roadrunner. Really blown away.
The only thing I dislike about it is it's...
it's expensive.
Well, I was going to say, I don't mind that, but it's size and shape.
Right. Money bags.
It doesn't make it means it doesn't integrate very well onto big pedal boards, but then it's sort of a purist's pedal.
Yeah.
So maybe it don't matter so much.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like similar to when people buy like the Pete Cornish style pedals, which is the same size as, they might probably... You know, I can imagine someone having just all three of the Echoline pedals and that's their pedal board. You know, three different flavours of drive going up the kind of drive spectrum. So I think the size, although for a crammed pedal board, like probably, you know, Matt's got or you've got, Joe, it would be difficult to fit in. But I think it qualifies for our considerations, definitely.
Yeah,
agreed.
Next up, the Pedal Pal FX PAL 800 JCM emulator, which I think we all know what that is. I believe Argentinian Marshall emulation. I thought it was pretty good.
I suppose I keep thinking about, you know, the ones we've got on this list.
Yeah.
And actually, if I was going to compare it to the Golden Brownie, I'd probably say the Golden Brownie was a better pedal in terms of that sort of sound than
price-wise.
The JCM,
I mean, definitely that's a consideration. Mm.
I did like the pedal power though; it was good.
I thought it was great as well, and I think it's, you know, as we said at the time, I think it's great that there's you know, we're seeing some stuff from South America, which is traditionally an area that we like. Being in Europe, we've never, you know, you don't get that much. I can't think of anything else actually from any other brands from South America off the top of my head. And I think it's great that, you know, there are companies now who are able to break through and make it into the European or the North American markets. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. When it comes down to the, and like, they're a company that I really want us to keep an eye on and see what else comes through. In terms of, was it the best pedal of this year? I think a good way to look at it is it the best pedal of its type of this year? And I don't think it's better than the Golden Brownie, and I also don't think it's as good as the, without wanting to jump ahead too much, the Ramble FX Marvel Drive 3.
Well, let's talk about that now. Let's do the Ramble FX Marvel Drive 3. Again, very well-made JCM 800 emulator. Sounds more like a recorded 800 than I think the Pedal Pal FX.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree this belongs on this list. I think it's very, very good. We'll talk about it in a bit more detail when it comes to it. Mad Professor Sweet Honey Overdrive.
Didn't like it.
A little underwhelmed.
I actually owned one before we demoed it, and I just didn't gel with it.
Yeah.
Didn't like it. Great pedal, well built, just didn't get on with the sound.
Yeah, I agree. That's like you say, really well built. Just not to not any of our tastes.
Agreed.
I think.
Agreed.
So on to more traditional distortion, so high gain stuff. We looked at two this year: the Svisound Technofoo and the Visa Perun. What do we think? Do either of these belong on this list?
They're not the sort of pedals I would normally go for. But looking at the as a whole, sound, price, you know, features, I didn't really get on with either.
No. I like the fact that the Svisound has a little light show built in. I thought that was cool.
I just think there's better and you know, warmer and kind of more dynamic distortion sounds in some of the overdrive pedals that we've picked
totally up. I think, you know, the Ramble Effects Marvel Drive kind of crosses over to this stuff, you know, if you crank the gain right up and you use it more like a distortion pedal than a drive pedal, I think it sounds quite a bit better than either of these two here. So, okay, so we're saying no to those. They can go. So fuzz, a hotly contested group, and something that I thought there'd be more of, but this year it's actually been more like just drive pedals. So in our fuzz group, we've got the Electro Faustus Guitar Disruptor, the Pelican Noiseworks Pelator, and the Johnny Rock Octo Fuzzy. Does anyone want to shout for any of those?
I mean, I'm going to shout for the Noiseworks Pelator.
Yes.
I mean, I bought one, so yeah. I just thought it was one of those pedals. As soon as I plugged it in, I was like, sounds great. And it's always difficult because of the way that we record our guitar sounds. We don't feed the amp with a direct feed, so we're feeding it with like a preamp and power amp and speaker modeling into another amplifier.
Yeah,
so you don't always necessarily kind of get the best idea when I'm actually hearing it.
Obviously, yeah,
when the sound you hear in the videos is the two note setup,
but yeah,
hearing it through another amp, sometimes it can sound a bit different. Watched some other demos and was like, oh, I'm not sure. And then obviously they made a pink one. I was like, gotta buy a pink one,
of course.
But when I plugged it in, I was actually like, this is the fuzz pedal. I find fuzz pedals the hardest pedals to buy.
Yeah.
Because they range so much in terms of gain, but also in terms of how usable they are.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I always wanted a fuzz factory, but every time I plugged one in, I was like, I can't.
Yeah, I can't get a sound out of it.
I can't actually get a sound out of it. And that's why I've always stuck with the Big Muff, because I'm always like, get a great sound out of it. This was the first low gain fuzz. I was like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I think for me, the way to look at this, I mean, as is often documented, I'm not a huge fan of fuzz pedals.
Really? You've never said that on the podcast.
As I say, like, you know, so for me, I'm always happy to take a step back in this category. However, I think a good thing to look at is, are any of these pedals as good as the magnetic White Atom that did really well last year?
Yep.
And I think personally, I think the only one that stands up to it really is the Pelican Noiseworks.
But they're very different types of fuzz.
Of course they are. And, you know, what? As I say, I'm happy to
well,
concede
that's the thing,
here. I'm not.
I actually, when I rewatched the video of the Electro Faustus Guitar Disruptor, I was like, this pedal is awesome, but it falls into that category of a great pedal that you couldn't use live, but you could definitely use recorded.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, I quickly resigned it from my pedal board just because it was great. Loads of fun. Sounds incredible.
There should be a product category for pedals that's just like fun pedals. It's like you're never going to use it live, but you're going to buy it.
You should buy one.
You should buy one because they're a laugh.
Yeah,
but you're never ever going to put it on
that's
a pedal
what
board.
This is. And the Electro Faustus is brilliant. I mean, it's £60 for a fuzz pedal that self-oscillates, so you have no idea what's going on.
But is it usable enough to make it into the...
Is usability really an issue?
No, we can put that... Let's move... I think the Electro Faustus definitely deserves to go into considerations for the top 10. Sure. The Johnny Rock Octo Fuzzy, I think, is a great pedal, doing something really different. I don't think it's in the top pedals I've heard this year. It's worth checking out. It's a... it's had an octave up, didn't it, I believe, in there. So, like, sort of Hendrixy style... octave up, and it was cool. You know, they're really nice, hand built in Canada, but I just don't think the stuff that we've seen from them so far stands out particularly in their kind of product categories. So should we talk about some modulation pedals?
Modulation.
Just three modulation pedals: the MXR Phase 95, the F Pedals Phase Vibe Lite, and the Boss FB2W.
VB.
VB2W. Does anything there jump out at you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I got one of the vibratos as soon as it came out.
The VB2W?
Yeah, the VB2W.
Long overdue reissue, basically. Of
what a brilliant pedal. But the thing is, it's that sort of sound has been so sought after for so long, and the only thing that you could get was, and actually the thing that Juan Orderet would suggest to people on pedalsandeffects.com, because he had an old VB2, couldn't find anything that sounded like it except for the Behringer,
yes,
that he used to buy and put on his, that was on his touring board for the Mars Volta. There was that Behringer pedal, and he said he just used to buy like four or five of them because they were $15.
Break straight away.
Yeah, I think, exactly. But so, you know, such an important sound that no one even goes after it because it's like bad vibrato.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's weird because, like, you know, I haven't got that many modulation pedals on my pedal board. It's more delays and reverbs. And when it comes to modulation, things like phaser can be, you wouldn't like, or a flanger, you wouldn't like play a whole chorus with a phaser on because of the kind of sweeps and the, you know, it's kind of like really in your face, where the vibrato sits much lower in the mix.
Yeah.
And kind of just adds this like thick, like dimension. It's like a chorus without being like too 80s.
For the same reason, I'm going to stand up for the F pedals phase vibe, which I don't know if you guys remember. We demoed it right at the beginning of this year. I've actually got one on my board now. It's the phase vibe light. They do two options: one with wireless charging and one without. It sounds awesome. Like you, Matt, I don't go over the top. It's the only modulation pedal that I think I've ever owned. Except I think I had a CE5 like 20 years ago, and the phaser on it sounds amazing, really crisp. Designed with a famous engineer whose
Eddie
name
Kramer.
Eddie Kramer, to, you know, based on his phasing techniques. But also the vibe on it is really good, really subtle, and I think it definitely competes with the VB2W. So we should probably add both of those to the list.
Sure.
Phase 95, I'm not too fussed about. I don't know about you guys.
It's nothing, because they did the Phase 99 for a long time, and this is just like a mini version of it. I kind of want one. It's cool, it's neat, but it's not really doing anything different for the world of phasers, as it were.
So moving on to delay, we've got the Cast Engineer and Casper delay, the Ibanez Mini Analog delay, and the T-Rex Replicator tape delay. What do we fancy out of those three?
I mean, out of the whole year and all those three that have come out, my favourite by far is the Replicator.
Okay, interesting.
I think it's a great, I know it's, a lot of people say, oh, it's a bit over the top, and but it's, I mean, what a thing to do, bring tape echo back into the market in an affordable way. Do you know what I mean? You know, there was that company Echo Hill. Well, there's a company called Echo Hill Effects, and they did that floppy disk delay, £1,500. If you look at full tone tape echo, it's like £1,000.
Yeah.
And this is, you can actually have this on the floor and use it like a pedal, and it's got chorus in it. I just think, you want tape echo. You know, I texted all you guys yesterday and said, oh, the average price for an RE201 now is £900.
That's absolutely.
And you're not going to gig one.
Absolutely bananas. I mean, I kind of feel like the Replicator is maybe in the wrong category here. It should maybe be in weirdest gear, because it, like,
I don't know. It's a guitar pedal. I don't think it's that weird.
I mean, I obviously love it. Absolutely love it. I think all three of those delay pedals are great.
I suppose if you were talking weirdest gear, you'd probably say the Replicator module, which is the Eurorack.
Does that exist?
It's like Eurorack. It's like a modular format that you can then patch in.
So you
can actually have like a tape echo on your.
That's bizarre.
Awesome.
I would say for me, out of those three, the Casper is probably my least favourite.
Really?
I think so.
With the Casper, I kind of soured on it. And then I don't know if you saw, I put a photo up on Instagram last night. I sat down with the Carbon Copy Bright, the Casper, and one other pedal, the Seema Duncan Vapor Trail.
Yeah.
The Casper was hands down the best delay out of those three.
I remember you absolutely loved it when we first did, but it's like, because we've had it for nearly a year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When we first tried it nearly a year ago, and I remember you absolutely loving it at the time, and I didn't think it was better than the Carbon Copy Bright then.
It's out of those three, the Casper was by far and away the winner, then definitely the Vapor Trail, and then the Carbon Copy Bright. Like,
I really like the Vapor Trail. I think the Vapor Trail is great. I mean, I really like all three of those pedals. I'm not sure that the Ibanez Mini is top 10 material. I think it's great. I absolutely love it. And what are they? £50?
No, they've gone up. They're £89 now.
Okay, I mean, that's quite a lot of money. But, like, for an analog delay, I think that's absolutely astonishing. And they're really great pedals. The Replicator, I think, is astonishing. And I think it probably belongs in the top 10. It's not going to win, but I
really?
Think...
Really? You don't think it'll win?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just sat here thinking, oh, bloody fuzz. Like, would who cares?
Would
do you know what I mean?
Would everyone be okay with losing the Ibanez, keeping the Casper and the T-Rex replicator?
Yeah.
Cool. So one last pedal to talk about, the MXR Reverb.
I can't believe it's taken MXR this long to do a reverb.
I know.
And I can't believe it doesn't sound very good.
No, yeah,
it's so disappointing.
I had a listen, because I've only heard one in the flesh once, and I went back and checked some YouTube videos. Really disappointing. Yeah, really, really disappointing. So for that, I mean, I think it can't go onto this list.
No.
So how many are we down to? We've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12... 14. So let me run down the 14. So we've got the Two Notes Le Clean, the JHS Pulp and Peel, which someone has changed to the Pulp and Pele on this list, the X5 Golden Brownie, the Seymour Duncan Palladium, the Walrus 385 Overdrive, the Greenchild G777, the Echoline Roadrunner, the Ramble FX Marvel Drive 3, the Pelican Noiseworks Pelator, the Electro Faustus Guitar Disruptor, the F Pedals Phase Vibe, the Boss VB2W, the Cast Engineering Casper Delay, the T-Rex Replicator, and Joe has put an obscenity in the last box.
If we're going to talk about one that should definitely go through...
I think this is the way to do it. We should talk about... We should take one each and say what we think should definitely go through to the top five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there's so many good pedals.
I know. It's difficult.
And there's so many good ones I want to choose because my heart says I should choose them. But my head says the one that has to go through is the Two Notes Le Clean.
I think so too. I think it's
been so good for us in terms of doing what we do in terms of the video thing and offering a great way for us to record videos, record great guitar sound. Like, honestly think, like, now we've had more time with it.
Yep.
The guitar sound we're getting at the moment through that setup is just
I think so
good.
Too. I think the combination of that and the cab simulator, the Torpedo cab is brilliant.
And I think you're going to start seeing a lot more, I think next year, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of these people have those on their pedal boards and then running straight into a power amp return, or, you know, using, because I thought maybe getting one, having my pedal board and having it hooked up via MIDI and then having loads of different presets for different preamps.
Definitely. And the Le Clean as well, it's worth mentioning, like, we use the Torpedo cab, but it's got speak simulator that you can switch on or off on it. So if you were just looking for something that could act as a really good, like, interface, well, not audio interface, but something to put in front of an audio interface at home, like, you could just use the speaker out on that, go into your audio interface, and you're getting a really decent sound. Yeah. I think the Torpedo cab is a good addition to that, because the cab modelling is better and more flexible. But I think the Le Clean is a serious bit of kit.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take that out of this list and put it into our potential top fives. Joe Branton, which of this list is striking you as a...
The T-Rex Replicator. Just because it's so totally...
Okay,
brave. It's so completely unique, though. And in the same way that, like... The Honey Boy was something totally new, unique, cool, awesome. I think this is, it's one of those, it's a defining release of this year.
J. Cross.
The Echoline Roadrunner for me is probably my favourite. I would say probably my favourite on that list. There's a couple of others that I'd argue for. But I think for me that it just it ticked every box in terms of what. Well, maybe not every box, but it ticks so many boxes in terms of, like, it's something cool, it's something interesting, it does something different in that, like, that clean boost was honestly the best clean boost I have ever heard.
Okay, okay. I'm going to go for the Walrus 385 Overdrive.
I was hoping someone would.
I just think it is the best out of all of these kind of transparent sounding overdrives, or whatever you want to call them, you know, low gain overdrives, it's hands down the best one I've heard. It's so good.
It's just really unique, isn't it? It's
I think even
ticks all the boxes for me.
I mean I don't think with those types of pedals you kind of even need to be unique, you just need to be the best one, and the 385 is the best one of those pedals. It's better than any kind of Klon clone that I've heard, you know. It's better, miles better than a Soul Food. Absolutely phenomenal. Let's pick one more each, and then that'll get us to eight, and then that'll be a top eight, and then we can squirrel down from there.
I'm going to say JHS Pulp and Peel.
Good.
Really?
Good.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed plugging that in when we did the demos.
It makes your guitar sound beautiful.
Like, yeah, I think that's the thing. I think compressors are moving away from squash to, like, signal processing, where you're kind of... it's like the make gooderer sort of thing. It's just, it's one of those types of things. You just have it on really subtle, just brings a bit of life to your guitar signal. Definitely. Especially when you're playing at home, maybe playing at lower volumes. I think it kind of, yeah, really lifts everything up.
Joe Branton.
The VB2W.
Okay. Solid. I thought that's what you would what you'd go for. It's been a big part of your rig for a while. Jay Cross.
X5 Golden Brownie.
Wow.
I really
God, if you had that as a pedal board, you'd be rocking.
I struggled between that and the Marvel Drive 3, and I think I'm just gonna,
it's the price.
I think I'm gonna let the price do the talking here, and I really do think that, like, at that price there's nothing else that does that.
The thing is, as well, I can't see where that price point has come from, in that, like, the pedal,
the build's amazing.
The build is really great, like, substantially better than Moore.
Yep.
Build quality for a pedal.
Oh,
the same
miles
size.
Better.
And it's £20 less than a Moore.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So it's down to me to pick the last one out of the Palladium, the G777, the Marvel Drive 3, the Pelator, the Guitar Disruptor, the Phase Vibe, and the Casper. I really like the Casper, and I really like the Pelator.
And the Green Child, you really like that too.
I do really like that. Again, it's doing something different. I don't think it's a top five product here. Right. I really like the Marvel Drive too, but...
Marvel Drive 3.
The Marvel Drive 3. Hey. The Marvel Drive 3, because we've got the Golden Brownie
which
on there...
Which was exactly why I went with the Golden Brownie.
Yeah, you made it very difficult.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm going to go for...
I mean, the other thing is, you don't need to. We could just stick with those seven, though.
No. I need to stick my oar in. I'm going to go for the Pelican Noiseworks Pelator. But I really love the Casper Delay. That was like my honourable mention, but I don't think it's going to win here. I don't think it's going to make top two. So, because I think you guys are prejudiced against it.
No, not at all.
Because you hate me. So I'm going to go with that. So we're down to eight products, which are... the Pelican Noiseworks Pelator, the Two Notes The Clean, the T-Rex Replicator, the Echoline Roadrunner, the Walrus 385, the JHS Pulp and Peel, the Boss VB2W, and the Golden Brownie from X5. Oof. We need to lose three pedals to get to our top five. What do we lose?
I mean, I was going to say, in terms of like picking a top five, for me, like if you were going to walk in and someone said to me, it was like, right, give me a pro pedal that's going to sound amazing and it's going to just, you know, you're just going to pick it up and go, yeah, that's it. Roadrunner, the Echoline.
I completely agree.
It's like, you look at it, it's pro. You can tell it's well built. You can tell loads of thoughts gone into it. It's a great pedal. When I was putting my pedal board together yesterday, I was like, I really should leave space for one because I'm sure I'm probably going to end up buying one.
Yeah,
if someone walked into a guitar shop and said, I want to buy a Pete Cornish drive
pedal. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Or,
okay. No, that's fine. Are you okay with waiting 3 years? Or however long the...
I'm
not sure they're
quid.
Even producing them at the moment. So.
They are, just expensive.
Right.
You know, or what it is it's a pedal for someone who wants to buy a Pete Cornish or they want to buy a Klon Centaur, but they don't need to because... they can buy this.
Exactly.
So my question is, which of these pedals are locked for our top five? Are we saying Echoline Roadrunner is locked?
I think so.
For the top five. Okay. What else needs to be locked?
The Replicator. It's too...
I can't do that. I can't sanction the Replicator.
Why not? So unique.
I think you're maybe standing alone here.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I really think so.
Come on, it's such an innovation.
It really is.
This is
really
the year.
Is.
I think
this is the year that the tape delay came back to being.
I just don't. I think it's
on
one of those things that if this goes through to the final five, we'll look back next year and go, it didn't really work, did it?
I don't think
doesn't
so
matter.
because it's been a year, it's been out a year nearly.
Yeah. Okay.
All our choices are always.
I'm willing to concede the T-Rex Replicator if you guys all want to put it there. Any other locks?
VB2.
I'm not sure I can sanction that in this list, Matt. I know your corporate overlords will be furious, but
I mean,
come on, I'm getting serious pressure here, boys.
Yeah,
it's probably the most used pedal on my board. Well, obviously the chorus stays, compressor stays on.
I think the only thing I suppose I would say is that it's out.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Because it was so sought after, but maybe people who are coming into effects now wouldn't necessarily consider that an effect they should go for.
Yeah.
They should definitely try one, because I think you'd be surprised. I think that's the thing. It's one of those pedals you've kind of got to use it. Yeah, to kind of
totally.
It's not a pedal.
I just think in terms of this list, there's more essential stuff on here.
Yes. Like, so it, good though. It's such I agree. I don't want to lock it. I'm just saying. I think it is an absolutely brilliant pedal. But I mean, I think we should be locking the Walrus.
I'm gonna say we need to lock the Walrus 385 Overdrive. It is just incredible. Jay, you happy with that?
I'm happy with that. I realise that's going to make what I'm about to say a little bit difficult. I think the Golden Brownie.
Me too.
I know that we've now got three drives to a certain degree.
The bulk of the things we've seen this year are drives.
I think that Golden Brownie is so good for the money.
I think, you know, we're talking about three different, very different price points
I think if we're going to do that, looking at what we've got left, I don't know how we cannot put the VB2 through.
I mean, there's pedals in there I like more. 100% that I like more than the VB2.
But you don't like modulation, so it's...
Well, I mean, it's not that I don't like it. You know, like I said, I put forward a vibrato pedal for this list, and I just didn't put it through.
I think it comes down to the Laclean and the VB2. I think the VB2 is a very cool pedal. It's not for me. I think that it definitely fills a void, and is also, it's good that, you know, Boss are going back and revisiting these things that they said they'd never do. I think that's really good. The Laclean, I think is probably for people who are listening to this podcast, and people who are like doing guitar demos. I just think the Laclean is such a great.
I suppose as much as I use the VB2. As much as I use delay most of the time, if you look at the price, the Laclean is £219. The VB2 is £179.
I mean, what is your average guitarist going to get more use out of? Are they going to get use out of like a really good front end that they can use for recording? They can use it as their drive pedal. It's two channel.
I suppose the difficult thing is, if you know, we're still losing the Pulp and Peel, which I think is great, Noise Works, which
too.
Is great as well.
Well, we are losing stuff, but they are great pedals. Yeah, you've got to
I think thing. In terms of if we're thinking like a top five, I think really two notes.
I think
because it's done as a group, it's done more for us than
I think
than
so too. I think more than any pedal this year in terms of up. If you were to put one of these things on your pedal board for an instant upgrade, the Laclean does it. I mean, obviously that's dependent on what sort of thing you're doing, but for us, like, the Laclean has been a massive asset to getting our videos sounding good.
Cool, let's put it through.
Do we think?
I think so.
Two notes, Laclean.
Lock it in.
So, that means our final five, in no particular order, are the Echoline Roadrunner, the T-Rex Replicator, the Walrus 385 Overdrive, the X5 Golden Brownie, and the two notes Laclean. We need to put these in an order, 1 to 5. One being the best, five being the, you know, not as best.
The fifth.
Well,
best.
We need to get the two through, don't we?
We need to get two. Yeah, right. Two through. So we need to put these in an order. I'm going to say, how does everyone feel about the Laclean being fifth on this list, because it is a very good product, but
it was the last one that we looked
did
in.
Just add it last.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think there's not the urgency.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, so that's the Two Notes Laclean preamp is going to be number five, or fifth best pedal of this year.
Okay, I think we can. There's an easy-ish way to look at this, in terms of we've got three overdrives there.
Uh huh.
What's your favourite of those overdrives?
385. 385 for me.
Mine's the Echoline.
Yeah, mine's the Echoline.
Yeah, I think mine's the Echoline as well.
Okay, fine. So
all that does is it. So that
is the Echoline a better pedal than the T-Rex Replicator?
Whoa. Let's hold on. We've got to talk about these.
I think that's the right thing to do. Yeah, okay. Totally. So we've just decided out of those three overdrives, the Echoline is the best one, Walrus is the second best one, and the X5 Golden Brown is the third.
We now need to know, is the Echoline better than the T-Rex Replicator? And I would say it 100% is.
I would say it is.
I can't wait for this argument, honestly, because how can you justify some shonky tape delay?
Think about where you are.
It comes in its own bag.
Think about where you are, Mark Packham.
God damn it.
The land of tape delays.
You're flanked by tape delays.
Flanked by tape delays.
You're flanked by tape delays and tape delay enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Okay, so the T-Rex Replicator is...
It can't be our number one pedal.
It is a
It's not the best pedal this year.
It is
100% not
release.
The best pedal this year.
Imagine if you had...
No.
Imagine...
I don't want to imagine.
Imagine if you had a reverend...
Imagine all the people.
Billy Corgan going into a T-Rex Replicator into a Honey Boy 5-watt.
Is a T-Rex Replicator better than an Echoline Roadrunner in terms of how, you know, the quality of the pedal...
Okay, I will concede the Roadrunner if... The Replicator goes in second.
No.
Which should definitely go in second.
We need to...
The Golden Brownie is 100% fourth.
You can't concede at this point. We need to put the Echoline Roadrunner as number one.
I think... I'm into that.
I'm
completely
concerned about doing that if it's going to put my Replicator in...
I am with Joe. I think that the Replicator deserves second place above those other two pedals.
Yeah.
Because it is... It is
novelty factor.
It's not novelty at all. It is so different to anything else on the market. It's so different to anything else on the market.
I think that's so brave to do it as well.
100%. I think it is, like, it's a fantastic.
I just can't believe that you would put that. That's got absolutely no chance in best gear of the year overall. Whereas I think the Walrus 385 Overdrive is one of the best pedals.
No, the Walrus 385 just isn't as good as the Roadrunner.
That's why I would put the Golden Brownie fourth.
Brownie's definitely fourth. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm happy with that. Golden Brownie fourth. X5 Golden Brownie is the fourth best pedal this year. It's just, what do we put in second? The T-Rex Replicator or the Walrus 385 Overdrive? I mean, think about cost here. Like, the Replicator is nearly £700.
Mm-hmm. £700 worth of awesome.
A novelty effect that's too big to fit on your pedal board.
It's not a novelty effect. It's not a novelty effect at all.
It is, because
it's not. Think about what Matty just said. Like, the RE301s.
Okay,
are going for over £900.
I've got a question for you. Would you rather have a T-Rex Replicator or a Boss RE20?
Would I rather have a T-Rex Replicator or a Boss RE20? I would...
How much is a Boss RE20?
£200.
Exactly. Why would you pay nearly £700 for this if there is a pedal that does just as good a sound and is... I think a better pedal.
Well, why do any of us even play amplifiers by that token? Because they're a perfectly good sort of, you know, interfaces that we should just go through the front of house with. You can't use that argument.
I think it's a very different product group.
A tape delay versus a tape delay,
and a digital tape delay emulator versus a tape.
Which one would you rather have?
Well, I've got the RE2. I've got the RE20.
But if you didn't have that, and you're in a store.
Honestly, if I didn't have it, I would. I don't know, it's difficult.
Is the T-Rex Replicator a better pedal than a Boss RE20?
I think this is the thing, right? Because sitting back and listening to it,
it's like
if you plug in the Replicator, it's going to be loads of fun. But yeah. then I'd probably always go back and plug my timeline.
When I say novelty pedal, I don't mean it's like a joke pedal. I mean it would be great for it would be great for a bit, but I just don't think that the longevity is there. Where I think something like the RE20 is a long life.
It doesn't. Of course, it doesn't but that's unfair because the RE20 is the single best pedal of all time, so it's difficult to compare it.
I don't think longevity matters. The 385 Overdrive, by that token, stands absolutely zero chance of even being remembered in a year in a format where so many drives are released every week.
Drives are, you know, it's a great pedal. It really is a great pedal, but drives are a dime a dozen. Drives are a dime a dozen. And all you got to do is look, like, the replicator is astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing.
We can't just give it to another drive just because the drive is quite good.
I'm with Joe. I think it's a serious piece of innovation that just nobody else has attempted to make into a portable
and no one's going to buy because it's so
awkward.
What are
you talking about? They've been super popular.
How many boards have you seen with a T-Rex replicator on?
How many boards have you seen with the Walrus 385 order?
Absolutely loads.
Don't believe you.
Absolutely.
I don't believe you.
If you look on pedal boards,
I don't believe you for a single second.
Many 385s.
And I bet they look really, really nice there next to the next to everyone's Klon Centaur and next to their DS1s.
Yeah, because they stand up with these classic pedals.
But like, it's just another drive.
Matt Knight, what would you go for? What's number two on this list?
I really don't know. This is to me the hardest choice so far. For second place,
I just don't get it with the replicator.
The problem
is, I
think realistically, I'm putting this out there. Obviously, we then take the top two and we put it into the best product of the year. I don't think either stand a chance against the Roadrunner. So I don't think it matters where either one goes because I don't think either's going to be as good as the Roadrunner.
I think the replicator is. I think it deserves.
As you're on the fence, you're. Let's go with these two. I think that's the only fair way. If two of us want to go for it, Matt doesn't know, and I want to go for the 385. Yeah. I think the T-Rex replicator is second on our list.
Yeah,
it's Walrus 385 Overdrive.
Honestly, it's so cool.
Now
it's
so
good.
I know how Joe feels losing all the time.
What?
Nothing. So our fifth best pedal of the year is the Two Notes, the Clean preamp. Fourth best, the X5 Golden Brownie. The third best is the Walrus 385 Overdrive. Second best is the T-Rex Replicator. And pedal of the year 2016 goes to the Echoline Roadrunner, which will be joining the T-Rex Replicator, the Reverend Billy Corgan, the Gretsch Streamliner Double Cut, the Boss Katana 50, the Honey Boy 5 Watt, the Rockstock Bright Switch, Barefoot Buttons, Boss ES8 and Ernie Ball St. Vincent on Friday's final.
Holy granoli.
We should have a little break and then we're going to talk about 2016's weirdest gear.
Cool.
And welcome back to is this day three?
Daytona.
Day three.
Our.
I can't even remember now.
Day three.
This is day three. So you've just heard best
Wednesday
pedal.
Today?
It's Wednesday, I think. You've just heard best pedal of 2016, which was won by the Echoline Roadrunner, with the second place being the T-Rex Replicator.
We're happy about that.
Now we are back to talk about weirdest gear of the year. So we have got the Maleco Charlie Foxtrot, the TC Electronic Wiretap, the 856 for Zealous Zan by Montreal Assembly, the Hologram Dream Sequence. I don't even know what that is, Matt. You keep adding these bonkers things. The Electroharmonics Mini Synth app, the Yamaha Trans Acoustic, and the Ranger FX Dwarf Bleep. So, where do we want to start, really? Is there anything on there that we think isn't weird enough to be weirdest gear? Because I sort of feel the Wiretap is weird for the wrong reason.
What
weird
is the Wiretap?
The Wiretap is basically... what was that Line 6 product called?
Backtrack.
The Line 6 Backtrack.
Is it the Backtrack?
Put into a pedal. Hmm. It's for recording your riffs essentially, and then it stays on there like a little hard drive, and then you can just play them back.
Yeah, I thought it was quite cool how you could transmit it straight to your phone.
Yeah,
and then send it to someone. Oh, yeah. As like a writing tool.
I remember this now. I also remember hating it.
Yeah, you did hate it at the time.
I think
really
like,
aggressively hated yeah. it.
I don't know why wouldn't you just have like an RC3 or a Digitech Jamman or something that's a looper pedal that's got a flash drive and then just USB into your computer,
yeah,
and then
just the
like download
thing.
The WAV files onto your computer.
It's like someone who didn't understand how looping works made this pedal.
Yeah, there's like a looper that doesn't actually loop round.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
So and actually, so many people just use voice recorder on their iPhone.
Yeah,
I've seen
totally.
So many people sit down with that electric guitar. And
no one's
going to
allocate a space on their pedal boards to.
Yeah, it's
to
very
this.
Weird. I'm going to delete the TC Electronic wire tap.
Oh, yeah, I might even do a Branton rant on it.
I think you should.
Should we just admit the fact that even though we don't think it's not deserving of going on the pedal section, let's just put the Dwarf Bleep through because we know, as last year, it's going to end up in the top five.
Well, possibly.
You know,
I'm going to have a
this is the second time Ranger Effects have had an
not
entry.
A pedal. Well, They've not made it through as a pedal, but they have as weird as...
Yeah, it is weird that they do keep ending up there. Should we just talk about each one individually?
Sure.
So, Maleco FX Charlie Foxtrot is a pedal that we demoed. Basically, what do they call it? They call it like... It's like a sample and hold pedal, isn't it?
Yeah,
basically.
So they call it a granulator? Yeah, digital buffer and granulator. I have no idea where the buffer element comes
into. No.
It.
Well, it's got
it means
a...
It's not through bypass, presumably.
No, it's Good. Got like a buffer in it. In that it will... There's a volume control on it. You can add gain, but it's not a gain
I
pedal
suppose
as such.
It takes the same idea that the Montreal Assembly Count to Five takes, in the fact that it's sort of like a looper,
delay.
Sampler, delay. I'm assuming it uses some sort of like... It uses the same way that a looper works and then feeds that through some other digital things and then feeds it back out. So it's kind of like mangling it inside the pedal before it kicks
it
back out.
Yeah, it's a
output.
Glitch pedal, isn't it? Which, you know, glitch stuff is really prevalent in the kind of plug-in scene. There's so much stuff where you can, put audio in and it splices it up in weird and wonderful ways and you might make something fresh and new out of it. And that's kind of pretty rare in the guitar effects scene. Obviously, there's the Count to Five. I think the Charlie Foxtrot is good in one way, that it's more of a cut down Count to Five. You can't do so much with it. The Count to Five is like a bizarre workstation of stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas the Charlie Foxtrot is, you kind of find a weird sound, you hit a few notes, and it probably won't ever do the same thing twice.
Yeah.
I also think that's a bit of a negative.
Yeah, I think so.
It
hugely
will never do
like
the same thing twice.
It very difficult to write with.
Yeah.
That was the problem I had, was this is like, you know, we'd be messing around with it before we did the video, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I can play this riff, and it'll be great. And then when I come to do it, I'm like, I didn't work any way, shape, or form.
You can
form,
see
exactly
it on
the
video.
Same.
You can see on the video that you hit one chord and you're like, okay, that's going in a nice like tempo. I can play over that. Then you hit another one, it does it again. And you hit the third one, it just goes,
noom. Yeah, it just stops immediately.
So
yeah.
I love the idea. And Maleco, you know, they're a synthesizer builder. They make Eurorack modules. They've made cool pedals. They made a great range of MIDI pedals that
they've
never really ever talked about.
That's when I first heard of them, when you had some of the MIDI. Did you had some of the MIDI pedals, right?
Did I have one of them? I think
you had a delay or something.
Yeah, but I love it, but I also really don't like it at all.
Yeah, I think so.
And actually, I think they had another pedal out this year, which was probably a little bit more usable, but once again, very weird, which was the Sneak Attack, which was their Attack Decay.
And which came with an extra pedal as well, didn't it?
An extra tap, the little buddy.
Such a weird, the little buddy. So we'll leave it on the list for now. Let's run down the rest of the things. The 856 for
Zelesan.
Zelesan.
I mean, this is Montreal Assembly at their absolute weirdest.
Yes.
I mean, for a company that has hype, I don't think they can be beaten. These pedals sold out in 45 minutes.
They
made something like 200 and they sold out in 45 minutes.
That's bonkers, isn't it?
I mean,
and they're not cheap.
They're not cheap. These were $500, I think.
And so,
and then he just went, oh, yeah, that's it.
Not making any more.
No, he'll make some more, but they're like, don't know when.
Yeah.
Make some more. And I watched a video with them and his business partner talking about it, and it's like, yeah, it's because it's all digital. There's nothing analog about it. They were just like, yeah, just wanted to make this looper. And they're like, when you talk to them, it's almost like, I love the way like Jay Maskus is in interviews. He's really just like, this is like talking about his gear. It's just like, well, this is what I use. And
yeah,
you know, he's not like passionate about it, but not in a like an a massively massive, you know, not in a massive way, and they're kind of the same. Just like, yeah, we just sort of built it and yeah, it does this. But it's like, imagine the Count to Five as a full-fledged looper that's then fully MIDI controlled, and every control does something different.
Bonkers.
It's, yeah, it's kind of, once again, it's that going down that granular, spluttery sort of glitch route that I think you could probably use on a pedal board, but you might find it better in recording.
Yeah.
Once again, I think it's difficult to write with because you don't really ever know what it's going to do.
Totally.
But yeah, basically, I'd say the best way to describe it would be like a deluxe Count to Five.
Yeah.
Really.
Definitely. What's the hologram dream sequence?
So this one is actually a little bit more usable.
Okay.
Everyone's got laptops here, so obviously have a look. Hologram dream sequence, if you haven't heard of it. I think they're about, once again, they're about $500. But something with a little bit more thought and something that's going to be a little bit more usable. So it's a pitch shifter. It's a hold sampler, so you can hold a note or a chord indefinitely with tap tempo. Yeah, octave up and down, and then it also works like a sequencer.
Of course.
So there's like five LEDs that then like blink in different ways depending on what your sequence is. But you can get some cool. It's like the Boss Slicer in a way, but way more control over the kind of the pitch.
Yep.
Different wave shapes, and then all MIDI controlled as well. But yeah, it's awesome if you kind of want something that is very dreamy, very ambient, but way like usable straight out of the box. Because I think that's the problem with the Maleco, is that even the Count to Five, like even the Montreux 8, because even with the Count to Five now, I still struggle sometimes I love having it on my board because I like stepping on it and having these weird sounds, but I'm still struggling to get my head around
how it actually works. Jay Cross, you added the Electro-Harmonix mini synth to this list.
I did.
What's the deal with that?
So it's an app that kind of came out of nowhere. The only piece of advertising that I saw for it was a tweet that Electro-Harmonix put out. It was just like, oh yeah, we've done an app. Have a look at it. And I looked at it and I was like, this is absolutely wicked. I think it's only iOS at the moment. I don't think there's an Android one. But you've got like a full size keyboard that you can it's a little bit unuser-friendly because you need to like scroll with one hand along to get, because you'll only have like, I think you only get a full octave on the screen at any one time,
right?
So it's a little bit difficult in that like you can't do a huge amount with it, and it's certainly not like a serious piece of kit, but it's very fun and very, very weird. I really like it. Was like £6 or something. Like, it's not a huge amount of money. I honestly think if you've got an iPad, I think you should just definitely buy it because it's so much fun. Kind of weird. I'm not sure if it's
the weirdest
thing that came out this year.
Right,
and actually, by Electro-Harmonix standards, it's fairly run of the mill. You know, it's not really even that weird considering it's the EHX, but you know, a very, very cool piece of kit.
So a couple of days ago, I got to actually try out the Yamaha Trans Acoustic, which is an acoustic guitar. It doesn't sound that weird, does it? Yamaha acoustic, usually fairly simple, run-of-the-mill. You know, you get your APX, CPX, the FG series. Yamaha Trans Acoustic is an acoustic guitar with chorus and reverb built in. And you think, oh, great, brilliant. So effects circuit built into the guitar, plug it into your amp, comes through the amp. Tell you what, the Yamaha Trans Acoustic has chorus and reverb without plugging it into an amp. Think about that. It is using a mechanical process to produce chorus and reverb sounds inside the guitar itself. And there's no speaker built in there. It just vibrates so that it will create chorus and reverb, and then that comes out of the sound hole.
So what is it doing? Is it taking that actual vibrating top of the wood and converting it into a signal that then is then amplified just out of the
No, there's no amplification going on. It's like delaying the reverberations from the guitar. I don't know exactly how it works, but
so weird.
I had one of the guys in the GAC acoustic department just show me around it, and it's absolutely bonkers. I honestly think this is a candidate for weirdest gear this year, because it's, you know, everything else is a pedal that is quite weird. this is something I've never ever seen before. It's so bizarre.
It's just, it's come so out of left field. Yeah. And like Yamaha haven't really, they've not like got behind it especially. No, it's like, not a big release for them. They're just like, oh, here's this thing that no one has ever even thought of doing. Yeah. Like, I don't know who this is for. I don't know. I don't understand this product at all. It makes no sense, which is why I love it. It should definitely be weirdest gear.
Matt, the last thing you added was the Ranger FX Dwarf Bleep.
Yeah.
Which we talked about Ranger FX last year.
I mean, just once again, David at Ranger FX, just a all-around mad scientist when it comes to fuzz and moving everything into kind of his mini pedal format. Obviously, we talked about the love of the Igor, which was the...
It's the companion pressure pad
expression pedal. But the Dwarf Bleep is the kind of expansion of the Frankenstein fuzz, but does the super bleepy... I was listening to some demos, because you can't really find them in many stores, and it's basically like those awesome bleepy glitch synth sounds out of your guitar, just by... You can use it as a normal fuzz, and then pressing down on the Igor just gives you the ultimate in just kind of...
Makes it bleepy, bleepy
guitar sounds. It's just awesome, like, but usable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like... You mix that with like some delay and stuff. I think you can get some really cool sounds out of it. Once again, mini pedal format, and the mind blowing thing, £108.
Yeah, that is. It sounds really
good. And he builds them, you know.
Yeah, it sounds really good for that money. So, with that all in mind, what are we keeping? Is there anything on this list that is not weird enough to exist? Jay, you were saying that the mini synth.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I mean it's great. I'm not.
But it's a synth app, I suppose. Yeah. At the end of the day,
at the end of the day, it's
It's more. It's weird that Electro Harmonix did it. Then
yeah, I guess that's a fair point. Yeah, completely.
Shall we lose the mini synth from this list?
Let's do it.
So we're down to five.
I would lose, if it was me, I would lose the Montreal Assembly, purely because with all of these products you could plug it in and probably work out how to use it and get something out of it. I don't think you could plug in and get anything out of the 856 the first time you used it,
so,
without reading the ridiculous short manual that makes no sense whatsoever.
Do we want to go for that as fifth on this list then?
Yeah,
it's the fifth weirdest thing this year.
Weirdest
gear is always a difficult one, is because we have to toss up like what is good and is deserving to go through the final and what is genuinely weird, and it's that I think what wins weirdest gear is the best balance of those two things
completely.
I am going to say I didn't hear the hologram dream sequence, but I mean, it sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if I were thinking fourth place, I'd think Charlie Foxtrot once again.
Yeah.
It's on that line of it's cool, but it's just, I think it just teeters over the point of it actually being usable. I think if you bought one at like £200, you would struggle to kind of...
Yeah, you find
you'd just be like, I think if you're in a studio, but if you're a guitarist and or a bass player or whatever, and you're putting on a pedal board and you step on that mid gig, you'd be like, yeah, you can hit. Well, like I say, you hit one note, and you're like, oh, I can riff with this, and then it just like completely dies on the second note.
Yeah, it's just unpredictable and not in a good way.
It's like, I think the only real use for like the Charlie Foxtrot is
guitar demos.
Well, no.
Interesting,
it's
demos
like,
on YouTube.
It's like, if you've got a section of a song where, and it's far more suited to a band like Joe's, where you have like maybe there's like an 8-bar freak out
improvised section,
absolutely, yeah, where there's just like a bit where there's not,
it doesn't matter what
it doesn't matter what's going on,
you're not relying on constant tempo or pitch,
absolutely, as long as like everyone starts the freaky bit at the same time and ends the freaky bit at the same time, it doesn't really matter too much what goes on. And I don't know, it's very cool as a standalone product, but I'm not sure how useful it is. I don't know, but maybe that is a qualifier for
how does everyone feel about the hologram dream sequence going third and then the trans acoustic and Ranger fighting out for the top spot?
Yeah,
I think
I think not enough of us have had enough time with the hologram dream sequence to give it toward it in a place. So Yamaha Trans Acoustic or Ranger FX Dwarf Bleep.
So the Ranger FX Dwarf Bleep is really interesting again because it's got the Igor thing, pad and everything, and it's a really interesting pedal. It's still just sort of a cool fuzz, and we actually had similar pedals in our pedal category as well.
Yes,
The Yamaha Transacoustic is just completely
bonkers. This wasn't tech.
It's just kind
I can't
of
believe that's a product. I can't believe that Yamaha have funded research. They've aimed to create this.
And they've employed
people to research how to do it.
It's weird, but it's also totally usable. If you were like a busker or, you know, singer-songwriter or something, just having like a bit of reverb and a bit of chorus in there without... I mean, it's still powered by a battery because there's something mechanical going on that the battery is powering, but not having to have an amp and having a bit of reverb, I think is ridiculously good.
So I can tell you how this came about, I think, because Yamaha... also do a transacoustic piano. And from what I can tell that is where this technology has come from, because if you allow me to read this out quickly, Yamaha's incredible new transacoustic system allows you to not only play silently through headphones, but also to use the piano's naturally resonant soundboard as a speaker, enabling you to physically turn down the volume of your piano. So essentially what it's doing is it's quite interesting, because rather than going the traditional route of having a keyboard style piano, that like a digital piano that you can make sound like a real authentic acoustic piano, they're sort of going the other way here, and they're making an acoustic piano that has the functionality of an electric piano. And I guess what they've done is that's where the R&D has come from.
Yeah.
And I can understand how that is, you know, a fairly, you know, you want something that looks like a proper piano, like, you know, quote unquote proper piano, but you don't want to buy it for your kids and then have them wake you up at 6 o'clock in the morning by playing chopsticks, you know, like, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where they found this tech, and they've gone, well, where else can we use this? Oh, sure, let's just put it into this guitar, and we'll also call it the transacoustic. So if ever anybody searches for...
the piano will come up, and it'll be super confusing.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how do we feel about the transacoustic being our weirdest gear?
Yeah, I think so.
The Ranger Effects completely. Dwarf Bleep being in second place, the Hologram Dream Sequence in third, the Maleco Charlie Foxtrot in fourth, and the 856 for Zelesan from Montreal Assembly being number five on this list. So
does that mean that for the first time in 3 years we've got an acoustic product?
We've got Yamaha product as well.
Yeah, we've not had much Yamaha
or acoustics really
in the final. So Yamaha Transacoustic and Ranger FX Dwarf Bleep will be going through to the final on Friday, joining the Boss ESA, Ernie Ball St. Vincent, Rockstock Bright Switch, Barefoot Buttons, Echoline Roadrunner, T-Rex Replicator, Boss Katana 50, Honey Boy 5, and the Reverend Billy Corgan and Gretsch Streamliner Double Cut to fight it out for our gear of the year. But before that, we have Thursday's deliberations, which are going to be best bass product, and when we unveil Listener's Choice 2016. Stick with us tomorrow for fighting out, probably loads of fighting with Joe Branton over the best bass product, and then join us again on Friday for the final. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Farewell.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.